It was. I was looking at it. I'm like, wow, it hasn't been that long since we've been there. And so I went on my calendar and looked at it. I, of course, keep record of different meetings and such on my calendar. And it was. A lot has changed since February in our world. But it's good to be back here. It's good to see you folks faithful to the church and serving God. We're going to be looking at Hebrews chapter 4 this morning. And it's a blessing, and I hope you understand how much of it's a blessing that you have a Bible to look at this morning. Literally, and we're going to talk about this a little bit, literally billions of people around, people are genuinely afraid. They don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. If this hasn't taught us, the pandemic hasn't shown us anything, it is that we will all die someday, and we will spend eternity. Whether that's now or whether that's 50 years from now, it's still appointed on a man wants to die. And so it's important that we're sharing the truth of the gospel with folks, especially during this time, especially when they're seeking the truth. So we'll be looking at Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, in fact, if you'll stand for the reading of God's word, the thought that I want to get across to you today, and if you hear me preach, you hear me teach, you're going to get the same general idea every time, and that is, God's word changes lives. I believe that, or I won't be doing what I'm doing. God's word changes life. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, a Bible verse I think most of us are familiar with. It says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the scriptures. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the fact that we can know for sure we're going to heaven. Lord, we live in a very troubled time. Lord, with everything that's going on around us, Lord, it's a fearful time for many. But we're so thankful that the Bible is still relevant today. That, Lord, the Bible does still change lives. And we ask today that your word would work in our heart and change our lives for today, for this week, that we could be a testimony to those around us during these times. We ask all these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As we get into this, many of you know about the Bearing Precious Seed Ministry. Like I said, I was just here in February sharing it. I do have a video I'll show this evening with some more updates about the ministry and so on. But if you're not familiar with our ministry, we are in Oshkosh. Sometimes as I travel, people ask me as a missionary, you know, what kind of food do you eat there? Cheese. We eat lots of cheese. How do people act? I don't know. How's the weather there? It's Wisconsin. It's fall. One day it's cold. One day it's hot. The next day it's snowing. I don't know. It changes. But we're just up the road in Oshkosh. The ministry there was started in 1979 with Brother Hoffman. And I didn't realize he'd be here next week. But Brother Hoffman and Mrs. Hoffman started the ministry in 79. And then I was actually grew up at Wildwood. And I think I shared this last time I was here, but grew up at Wildwood, started helping the shop when I was 13. And God has blessed the scripture publishing ministry through the years. It continues to grow. We continue to reach out to more people and continue to see God's word go out. Last year, 2019, was one of our highest production years. Not that we try to keep that up front, but getting the word of God out is our goal. And so God blessed last year. And then as this year came on, things were looking really good. We had a lot of groups coming in the shop. We had a lot of work done. And then, of course, like everybody else, we had to start shutting things down. Thankfully, being a smaller shop, I was still able to go to work daily and get some things done. Just had to cancel some groups and reschedule and all that. One thing I would like to ask you to do is pray for our ministry that God would bring another young couple along to work in the ministry. As God blesses the ministry, I can only be in so many places at so many times, and I'm learning what the folks in the print shop have been trying to teach me for 20 years, and that is as you get older, time goes by faster. You can't do what you used to do. You can't keep that pace you could in your 20s and 30s and now into the 40s. So we're praying for a younger couple that we can continue to produce the scriptures that we need to produce, that we can continue to travel for the ministry. We continue to do missions programs, and we'll talk about some of these things. I shared the scriptures. We've produced now in 39 different languages. We'll talk about Malawi a little bit more, but just did some scriptures in Chichewe. I probably said that wrong. We've been able to send those scriptures to the missionaries. Because of churches like yours, we've been able to send to the missionaries free of charge all the scriptures that we send out. And since the beginning, we have also been taking missions trips all over the world. In particular, God's opened the door to Puerto Rico. Some of your folks have been to Puerto Rico with us. We were able to, at the end of February, take a team to Puerto Rico. We had another team scheduled for April that we had to reschedule. But we were able to take a team end of February. And that was our 25th team since 2012, going into Puerto Rico and working with the folks there and doing different outreaches that we do there. We have a teen outreach. We have a pastor outreach. We have the working out on the streets, passing out scripture. All those outreaches that we have going on. And again, I'm telling you this to kind of bring you up to speed. I'm kind of giving you a quick overview for those that don't know what we do besides the printing of scriptures, but also to ask for prayer. I believe that Bearing Precious Seed is ready to take the next big step as far as be able to reach more people with the Word of God. But I think one of the key things we need is for a young couple to come along and work with us. So please be in prayer about those things. After running through those things, you see the print ministry itself. I could spend all day, every day in the print shop. There's plenty of work to do there. Traveling for the ministry, representing the ministry, getting groups to come in the ministry. That's a full-time ministry in and of itself. Puerto Rico's becoming, the Caribbean's really becoming, or Caribbean's really becoming a full-time ministry as far as God's opening different doors for us, different avenues, not only to reach Puerto Rico, but to reach many of the other islands. I would recommend sometime you sit down and actually look at the Caribbean islands. We always think of the Bahamas and going on vacation and all that, and those are wonderful things. I don't have anything against that. But what the world does is a really good job of showing you the touristy trap places that we all want to go to in the dead of winter when it's 40 below zero here and it's tropical Puerto Rican. People go, why do you go to Puerto Rico in February and March and April? Because I can't possibly be as dumb as I look. It's freezing here. It's warm there. People want to serve Jesus. They're cooped up. They want to get out, and they want to get out warm. But if you look at the islands that are down there, I think it's somewhere around 40 million people make up the different islands. And yes, there's lots of beautiful cities to visit and so on and so forth. But just beyond those tourist-trapped areas are a lot of poor people that have never heard the gospel or don't have a church to go to or don't have anybody that cares for them. And so God's really given me a heart to start helping churches and pastors down there. So just pray for those things. Now, we share all those things. Share about getting in Puerto Rico in 2012. People ask, how do you accomplish those things? And this all has to do with this Bible verse, I promise. I'm not just telling stories here. We do it through folks like you folks. The reason we put a prayer card out is we genuinely need prayer. We genuinely need prayer. Listen, last week we were just north of the cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul preaching. This week we're here. Next week we'll be at another church in Wisconsin. The following week we'll be in Kentucky. And then we'll be down in Tennessee or Indiana, Kentucky, Tennessee. And then back home. We don't take for granted the fact that there's people praying for us as we travel. We don't take that for granted. Because of COVID and because of how things were slowed down, I'm a bit of a numbers guy, so I'm looking at all the numbers, and I'm realizing, hey, statistically, this can happen, that can happen. Statistically, all the traveling we do based on just the simple math, we put a lot of miles on in the last 20 years, and statistically, we should have had some pretty bad accidents, if not death involved. We haven't. Praise the Lord for that, and I believe that's because people are praying for us. So please continue to pray for us. Of course, don't ever let anybody tell you that what you're doing for God doesn't matter. One of the things that I've seen over the last few months is a lot of God's people stepping up to do the little things that need to be done. Your church, like our church, like many churches across our country, we've just changed our schedule. We've changed how we do things. We function differently. And that means a lot of adjustment for us, some things we don't like. I found another thing about it. As you get older, you don't like change. Hey, listen, don't sit in my pew at church, okay? My pastor might not assign me that seat, but that's my seat. Stop sitting there. And then pastor does like you guys do. Okay, every other row is closed off. Why'd you close my row off? I don't want to move closer to you. I certainly don't want to move further back. Why would you do that to me? And we've had to make those adjustments. But I'm saying, please understand that what God has for you is important. There's some things that you can help with in ministry, and I hope you're involved in your ministry where you are here. But as we look at our ministry, as we talk about it and different things, we encourage people. They can literally get their hands on the scriptures. We have a gentleman in our church that's been helping faithfully in the shop for some years now, And he loves it. He's got health problems. He would love to go on a missions trip, but he can't. But he comes in the shop faithfully, regularly. I was gone all last week, but he kept the shop running. Hey, this is something I can do. I can put scriptures together. I can reach others with the Word of God. And I would encourage you, if it works out in your schedule, to bring a group sometime and work in the print shop. And it's a great thing. Right now, we're working on scriptures for Korea. But your church has done something that some churches have done, many churches have done, and they get involved financially. Your church sent a check earlier this year for $800 to buy a roll of paper. Well, what does a roll of paper do? Well, it produces 500 Bibles. It produces 2,000 New Testaments or 10,000 John Romans. People get involved in those areas. We can be involved in many different ways in the Word of God. When we come back to the idea that it's the Word of God that changes lives. See, we understand in our churches, in our families, that we all have our role to play, all have our part to play. In 2018, I became the director of the print shop, and that's my position now. And I was actually talking with a pastor last Saturday. We had a group in the shop just before we left for Minneapolis, and I was talking, and I said, and Brother Hoffman will be here next week, but when I was growing up, I was 13 years old, and we're working on this particular project, and my parents brought us in and said, hey, what can Tim do to help? And he showed us these boxes that need to be made up, you know, squared up. And I started putting tape on there. Now, if somebody would have told me when I was 13, hey, you're going to put this tape on the back of these boxes, but eventually you're going to become the director of this ministry, I would have ran away. I was 13 years old. I didn't want to be in front of people. I was happy to put tape on the back of the boxes. I was happy to fill them. But you never know what God's going to do with your life as you serve Him. Now, as we're sharing about some of the things that God's doing, sometimes pastors and missionaries and so on, they'll get up front and they'll say things that make you think that they're super spiritual and they're never concerned about anything. And so I'm going to tell you something. That's not me. When everything started happening, hey, we had a Puerto Rico trip that was already planned. We had already bought the tickets. We had $12,000 worth of airline tickets purchased. And then the airline was good to us, and so I want to start with that because I'm going to say some things about it that don't sound so good. And so we call Southwest and go, hey, listen, this is happening. It doesn't make any sense for us to go. It's a big risk for us to take all these kids to Puerto Rico, so we need to back out. And they said, well, you can change your tickets. We don't normally let you do that, but you can change them to a different date. And I'm like, okay, when do you suggest? They're like, well, you know, whenever this is over. I'm like, so do you know when this is going to be over? Because I don't. And I certainly wouldn't have guessed in September I would be saying that, and close to October I'd be saying that, but certainly back in the end of March, beginning of April. And so then they said, well, you can write a letter, and you can write a letter to corporate, and you can tell them your situation, and you can tell them that you would like a refund, but we don't normally do refunds on group tickets. Okay, so why don't I write them that? And so I said, if I write them that and they tell me, no, we're not going to give you your money back, then what happens? Well, then you lose $12,000. Well, that's not my money. That was young people that raised the money to go on a missions trip. I was just the steward of it. I was just responsible for it. And so we went back and forth a little bit, and we were looking at, I was talking with the leader, the group was from Ohio. I was talking to their leader, and she said, well, let me talk with the pastor, her pastor, their pastor, and let's figure something out. And so we kept looking at pushing the date and looking at, and finally somebody said, well, it was funny. One time I was talking to somebody, they said, you need the person that's in charge of the event to write the letter. I said, well, that's easy. I'm the person in charge of the event. They said, well, it has to be on official letterhead. I said, well, that's easy. I'm on staff at our church, and I can sign for certain things for our church, so I can sign. Well, but it has to be on official letterhead. I said, well, that's easy because I run the print shop, and I can print 10,000 copies of official letterhead if you want it. I'm not sure what else you want from me. Well, I don't know. It might still not go through. So here I am with this thing. I mean, I'm seriously responsible for somebody else's money and a lot of it, and I don't know what to do. So what do you know what you do when you don't know what to do? And it's really where you should start. You pray about it, right? I mean, and I hate to say it. Unfortunately, sometimes it's the last thing we do when it should be the first thing we do. God, I don't know what to do. Well, I get this phone call from Southwest, and they say, hey, things are really bad for us. And I feel bad for them because, I mean, they're a business. They're trying to make money. They're trying to keep people, families fed and so on. I get all that. And they said, listen, we're only sending one flight a day to Puerto Rico. And so we're going to have to move your time. And so that the flight time has changed. And it was only changed by like a half hour. It wasn't much time. And we're sorry about that. If it doesn't work, you know, just reschedule. Don't worry about it. That's on us, not you. And if you can't reschedule, Don't worry about it. We'll give you your money back. Give me my money back. And so God took care of that. So now we're in the middle of getting ready to ship a container to Malawi, Africa. My brother-in-law, he says, a container load. Now, I know it's in our newsletter, but 10,000 Bibles, 10,000 New Testaments, 300,000 John Romans, 70,000 tracts, 40,000 pounds of material. Fill up this half of the room. Just fill it right up. That we're going to ship to Africa. And people have come and put the scriptures together. People have given for paper. People have given for covers. People have given for all this stuff. It's ready to go. We've got some money put away to ship the container. And again, I'm going to use the number $12,000. I guess that's just a coincidence. But to ship the container over there is going to be about $12,000. We're about $5,000 short of needing that to get it over there. I mean, when you think about moving 40,000 pounds halfway around the world, it gets expensive fast. So we put in our newsletter, hey, God's blessed, God's taken care of, thank you for your giving, please pray, we need $5,000. We mail that letter out, and before that letter gets to you guys or anybody else, we get a letter in the mail. We were in Wisconsin 3 or 4 years ago on vacation, and we came with a church. We came down with a church to work in the print shop, and it was really a blessing to us, and we couldn't stop thinking about it. We really enjoyed our time in the print shop. They're from Alabama. I don't remember them. I met them, but I don't remember them. I meet a lot of people. And we got an inheritance, and God just led us that we should send some of our inheritance to help you guys with your scripture publishing ministry. They're not on our mailing list. I don't remember them. We haven't talked to them in 3 or 4 years, okay? I just sent a letter out. This letter comes in before anybody gets the letter. Guess how much money the check was for? I'll tell you, it wasn't for $4,500, and it wasn't for $5,500. It was somewhere right in between. God wants his word to reach the world worse than I do. He wants to do it, and he wants to use us to do it. That's the amazing thing to me, that God wants us. Listen, that was an answer to prayer, because here we are going through COVID, and things are getting tight, and people are scared, and people are losing their jobs. It's not like it was at the beginning of the year. Things were not good. I mean, things are starting to pick up and get better now, but it was really bad right then. And I'm going, God, I trust you. I know you're in charge. But you're in charge, but you have to show me what I need to do with these things. And God starts supplying these different needs in different ways and different areas, because God's word changes lives. I want to tell you all these things, that God's word is quick and it's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's God's word that shows people how to be saved. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And let me say this, and I said this before all this happened, because I saw something happen before all this happened, is we've become accustomed to trusting the government to take care of our needs. Listen, I'm not trying to get into politics. I don't know where you stand or don't, but the government doesn't have the answer. The Bible does. As I watch COVID, I watch people, whatever side you're on, and they give their opinions, and the government's going to help us this way, or they should do this, or they should do that. I said to myself, I hope I have as much faith in God as some people have in our government. Okay, again, I'm not critical. Listen, we need to pray for all of those in our government, whether you like them or not. You should be praying for our president. You should be praying for our congressmen and senators. You should be praying for our governor. You should be praying for all of them. They need it. It's a difficult, difficult time. No matter how corrupt you think one side or the other is, first of all, they need to be saved, many of them. That would change some things if some of our politicians got saved, wouldn't it? We should be praying towards that end. Whether you like them or not, you should be praying for that towards that end. But I hope I have more faith in God than I do in my government. I hope we have more faith in him. You know, as we look at the Word of God and we talk about how it changes lives, the very first place that it worked in my life, it changed my life, is in salvation. And I don't know all of you. I don't know who's here for the first time and how many of you have been going to church here forever. But I know this. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's becoming less and less popular, by the way, to quote Jesus, but it's still true. The Bible still stands when it says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's a word we don't like to use anymore. Well, he made a mistake, he this, or they did this, or this. No, it's sin. I sin, you sin, we all sin, and because of that, we do not deserve heaven. The wages of sin is death. We will die, and I think it's one of the things that people have come to realize this year in particular, is death is real. They're afraid of death. We will die. My great-grandma, I remember my great-grandma. She was born in 18... I have to do the math quick. I think about 1886 is when she was born. How do you remember your great-grandma? Because she lived to be 107 years old. My grandpa, her son, my grandpa will be 100 this year. He's funny. He tells me, this was years ago now, but he says he brought one of my boys over there, young, 4 or 5 years old. He goes, when I was about their age, I remember going to a parade, and there was these two really old guys there. I know, it's hard to hear that from an old guy, right? There was these two really old guys there in the parade from the Civil War. Okay, so I know somebody that knows somebody, saw somebody, I don't know them, but saw somebody from the Civil War. Okay, it kind of shows you how far back that really was. Yesterday, my son came home from work, and he found a $1 bill at work, and it said it was printed in 1935. And we got talking about how long ago that was. And I said to my 13-year-old, I said, you realize that your great-grandpa, who he knows, I said, you realize that your great-grandpa was 15 years old when this was built, when this was printed? And he goes, wow. I goes, I knew grandpa was old, but that's really old. But I'm saying all this to say, whether you live to be 107 or 100, my mom passed at 60 years old just 5 years ago. It's appointed on a man once to die. It's a guaranteed thing that you will die. Do you know where you're going when you die? The Bible is very clear that you can know for sure. It's not about being Baptist. I've been Baptist all my life. A lot of people say, you know, I don't agree with everything that the Baptist Church does. I've been a Baptist my whole life. I don't agree with everything the Baptist Church does, okay? I get it. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If you read John chapter 3, and we won't take the time this morning to do it, but John chapter 3, Nicodemus comes to Jesus Christ at night, and Nicodemus is a Pharisee. He's a ruler of the Jews, and we always think bad things about the Pharisees because there's some bad ones in there. I believe, like a lot of religious people today, they were sincere, most of them. Nicodemus asked legitimate questions of Jesus. Nicodemus, as a ruler of the Jews, probably did a lot of good works, probably memorized a good portion of the Old Testament, certainly knew the Old Testament. And Jesus Christ didn't say, you know what, you're a pretty good guy. You've never murdered anybody, you've never done this and that. Jesus Christ said, you must be born again. Oh, I don't believe in this born again stuff. Well, that's what Jesus said. You don't have to agree with me, but Jesus said it. Read the chapter, John chapter 3. I highly recommend the chapter, not just John 3:16. You must be born again. If you've never been saved, if you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, let me encourage you, today is the day. If you don't understand in 2020 that we're not guaranteed tomorrow, I don't know when you will understand that. I'm not trying to scare you, but whether it's COVID or a car accident or a heart attack or any other reason, it's appointed on a man once to die. I remember when my mom found out she had leukemia, saved, involved in the church since the time she was 21, I think, involved in the church, all those kind of things. And I remember when the doctors told her she had leukemia. Listen, even as a Christian, sometimes that news is hard. But it was a shock to her. It wasn't like she expected that coming when the doctor said, this is what's going on with you. It's appointed on a man once to die. So we started with a key thought of the God's words changes lives. And this is really held up by three different pillars or supporting thoughts that I want to share today. And the first one is that God's word is quick and it's powerful. God's word is powerful. We need to share God's word. We need to read God's word. We need to study God's word. We need to be in God's word more. One of the things that we need to be careful of sometimes is when the Bible talks about that God has not given us a spirit of fear. As we read the Bible as Christians, yes, we need to be wise. Yes, we need to understand. But we need to understand that God is still in control no matter how bad it gets, and that's written out in God's word. But the second thing that I want to look at a little bit is God's word is precious. If you'll look at, and I won't take time to turn there, but 1 Samuel 3 and verse 1, it says, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. Is God's word precious to you? Do you love God's word? And what are you doing to reach others with God's word? Listen, we've got tracts here. Let me encourage you to take these. Like I said, we've been seeing a lot of people going through these. People are receiving these. If you're one of those folks, and I know how it is. I wish you would have known me 20 years ago when I was just a backwards farm kid from Amaro. I don't even live in Oshkosh. I live in the little farm community of Amaro. I know that sometimes it's a little unnerving to give somebody something like this, but people have been very receptive of these far more than they have of a normal tract. I get we're from Wisconsin. We're the land of the frozen chosen. Hey, we don't get excited about anything but the Packers, okay? And if you're not a Packers fan, why do you even live here? I don't know. I know, I just talked about football, and that's gotten political, too. I don't want us to be there anymore. But let's share the Word of God with others. Let's be a good testimony to others. Let's verbally share it as we can. I know at work you can't just sit around and talk about the Bible all day, but you know there's times where you can bring something up to share with others around you. In 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2, why don't we turn there? 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2. I love this passage, and the more I read it, the more I love it. And I understand that Paul is writing to Timothy, who's a preacher boy. But I like the books of Timothy, 1 and 2 Timothy, and it's kind of a simple reason. I started liking them when I was young just because they're Timothy, and that's my name. And so that, you know, I feel like, hey, there's two books of the Bible that were written to me. But there's a lot of good stuff in these passages. And I know some of them don't necessarily apply to us if you're not a preacher. But there's things we can take out of there and we can use that should be an encouragement to us. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2, it says, preach the word. Now that's talking about what we're doing right now. It's talking about preaching. But you can proclaim, you can share the word in many other ways. Be instant in season, out of season. There was a time where Christians were looked up to. That was in season. We're kind of out of season right now. The Bible says, and this is something that I get nervous about when I don't hear preachers doing this, and I know they don't necessarily do this every sermon, but it says, reprove, rebuke, and then there's the preachers that's where they like to stop. But it says, exhort. And let me say this to you today as Christians, as we look at God's word, the next few words are really important. With all long-suffering and doctrine. There's lots of people out there that they like the reproving and the rebuking. And it's in the Bible. It needs to be done. But they're not so good at exhorting. And I know me. I've got six boys. I don't know if you know that. I have six boys. I'm not always long-suffering. I've got a 19-year-old and a 17-year-old. And I know I was way more mature than they were at that age. I know I was. I've got the young ones that they're young, and like I said, my energy is not what it used to be. But that idea of long-suffering and doctrine. There's churches, and I've been in a lot of them, hundreds of them, that there's the churches that they want grace, and they want long-suffering, and they want all this over here, and they neglect the doctrine side of things. We need long-suffering. We need doctrine. And there's the churches over here that we want doctrine, we want truth. I want doctrine, I want truth. That's why I think the Bible is so important. That's why I think it's so important that we get the Bible and look at what it says for us. So we don't just have somebody else telling us what the truth is. Can I say one of the problems that's going on in our country is whichever side of the fence you are on politically, you've got somebody else telling you what the truth is, and it's actually hard to find what the actual truth is these days, because I'm going to say the majority, if not all of the media groups out there, they have an agenda one way or another. Again, I'm not trying to talk about politics, just saying focus on the truth. And they want truth, but we're not always gracious, not always long-suffering. It's one of the things the Bible commands of us. As we look at the Word of God and we talk about how precious it is, I already mentioned this number, and I'm going to share this a little bit more tonight. 75% of the world today does not have a Bible. I was just at a meeting a couple weeks ago on the other side of the state, where the main speaker was talking about the 1040 window. And if you don't know what that is, it's you take the degrees on a map and you look out at that window of 1040, and that's where I think he said two-thirds of all the people in the world live. He said if you today were to go to Walmart and you were not a Christian, you didn't know anything about Christ other than his name, and you were to start crying out in Walmart and saying, I need somebody to tell me about Jesus. Please, somebody tell me about Jesus. Somebody at Walmart somewhere would probably know something about Jesus. Hey, they might not be Baptist like we are and so on. That's fine. But they could probably share something about Jesus with you if you went to Walmart. He says you go to this part of the world And if you were to start crying out in the marketplaces and out in the streets, somebody tell me about Jesus, you could spend your whole life asking for somebody to tell you about Jesus and never come across somebody that's ever heard the name of Jesus. Okay? I just heard that concept 2 weeks ago, and I'm still wrapping my brain around that. The idea that God's word is precious, the idea that 5 billion plus people don't have God's word for themselves, the idea that there's people that will live and die and never hear about Jesus Christ is a very real thing. God's word should be precious to us, but it should be precious enough to us that we tell others about Christ. Some, that means going to the foreign field. My wife's parents were missionaries in Romania for 20 years. My parents were involved in our church and involved in our bus ministry. They didn't travel. In fact, my mom went on my very first Puerto Rico trip, and that's the only missions trip she ever took in her whole life. But she was faithfully serving God at our church. Is God's word precious enough to share with others? I shared with you about my brother-in-law, Olvia, there to Malawi and sending the scriptures over there. And pray for that container. It's in Africa, but it hasn't cleared through all the stuff that it has to go through to get to Malawi. But as I talked to him, I talked to him about these churches that the pastor doesn't have a Bible. I said, if we bring a team of folks over to pass these scriptures out, how long will it take to pass out all the scriptures I mentioned earlier? And he says, oh, I don't know. If you're there for maybe 2 weeks with 10 or 12 people, I think you could pass out all that scripture. He goes, you won't be able to get out of the boxes fast enough. Because there's whole families that don't have the Word of God. When we're in Puerto Rico, we go out and we pass out scripture everywhere. And as we pass out the scriptures, we pass out an invitation to church. And what we normally do with that invitation as we invite them to church is we put an invitation that says, hey, listen, we're going to have a special meal. We're going to give out a gift like a pen or something like that. They'll come out to church, and we invite people to come out to church, and we'll see, I think the most we've seen is 55 first-time visitors come out to church, which is great. We haven't had 55 first-time visitors, and I don't know the last time at our church, and I'm guessing you haven't seen 55 first-time visitors in a long time. That's not normal in the States. In Puerto Rico, you know, you might see 20 or 30. 55 was kind of a high number. I said, what can we do in Africa and Malawi to encourage people to come out? And he goes, well, if you just promise everybody that comes to church on Sunday a Bible for their family, he goes, I don't know because we've never done it, but he goes, my guess would be 1,000 people would show up. 1,000 people. Can you imagine if we went around this area and we said, hey, if you come to church next Sunday, we're going to give your family a Bible. How many people do you think would show up? Probably the exact same amount that would show up at Wildwood if we did it in Oshkosh. Maybe a handful, hopefully a handful, prayerfully. But God's word is precious. The last thing that I want to close with is this. If we're looking at the three pillars supporting the thought of God's word changes lives, and that is God's word is practical. God's word is practical. I love things that are practical. You see so many things out there that they'll tell you about how this works or that works or so on. You know, your smartphone. I am not a techie guy. You give you a smartphone and they show you all these wonderful things your smartphone can do, but that's not practical. The reason that you have Droids and Macs and Apples is because they fight back and forth on what's practical for me. But God's word is practical. It's practical when you're a child. It's practical when you're a teenager. It's practical when you're a husband or a wife. It's practical when you're in charge of a ministry. It's practical when you're serving in the factory or when you're serving a ministry. It's God's word is practical. The book, the Bible, is full of doing things for God. Now think about this. You'll hear people preaching it. And I think we need more of this because we're seeing people step back from the things of God and get involved in other things that aren't necessarily bad in and of themselves other than they take you away from God. But the Bible's full of us doing things to serve Him. Now, some people say, well, the church needs me or this or not. God doesn't need us. Please understand that. God doesn't need us. God has chosen to use us. Think about the fact that you get to serve God. You have the privilege, the opportunity, and the honor to serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That should be exciting to us. That should be exciting to us. I know we're Baptists and we can't get too excited about too much stuff, but it should be exciting to us that we get to serve God. James chapter 1, and you can turn there, James chapter 1. Most of you probably know this passage. Talks about being doers of the Word of God. I believe, even more than the start of the year, that this our world, our country, our cities need real Christians more than we ever have. We need real Christians. That doesn't mean that we don't make mistakes. I know somebody in the world will say, oh, that Christian's a hypocrite. He did this or he did that wrong. Listen, don't let Satan use that. You have flesh. I don't know some of your background. Some of you struggle with various sins. I like the saying, when Satan reminds me of my past, I remind him of his future. Listen, I get that. And I'm not saying that we make excuses for our past. We don't make excuses for our sin. But at the same time, don't let Satan use that to stop you from serving God. James chapter 1 and verse 19, it says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. And we could stop right there. Those are some really good points. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Verse 22, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only. I love the Bible. I love going back to the Bible. Sometimes illustrations help shed some light on some things that we don't see. I love the saying, nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care. The idea as Christians, we need to show people in a dying world that we genuinely care about them. What are you doing for the cause of Christ? What are you doing when it's practical? When I say God's word is practical, how are you practically applying the cause of Christ? Revelation 2 and verse 4, God is talking to the church of Ephesus, and he says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. And my question is this, do you love Jesus? And I mean, do you love Jesus like when you first got saved, when you were first involved? Revelation 3:20, it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, and he will sup, and will sup with him, and he with me. And Charles Ryer says this, Revelation 3:20 is talking to the church of Laodicea. How incredible that Christ should be kept outside his own church. How gracious that he should still seek entrance. Christ is appealing to the worldly, compromising believer in the church to return and enjoy full fellowship with him. God's word changes lives. It's powerful, it's precious, and it's practical. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we pray that we would draw closer to you, closer to your word, that, Lord, we as Christians would see that this is our time to serve you. This is our time. Lord, we look at the great Christians of the past, but, Lord, they're past. They've died. They've gone to heaven. The Bible says they're long home. And now, Lord, you've asked us to do something in our time, to be the salt and the light. And we do pray that you'd help us to do that. Help us to understand that your word is very powerful. Help us understand how precious your word is and how practical your word is. Thank you for all that you do and all that you're doing in our lives. We've got to ask these things in Jesus' precious and holy name.